Clow, Curator of Contemporary Art at the Delaware Art Museum, and this is Art Watch on WCHE 1520 AM, live every Wednesday from 1 to 1:30. Joining me in the studio is Morgan Hamilton, Curatorial Associate at the Delaware Contemporary in Wilmington. Today we'll be discussing the Delaware Contemporary's current exhibition, Guardians of the Image Makers. Morgan, thank you for joining us in the studio.
Thank you for having me.
So your current show, Guardians of the Image Makers, is a group exhibition of select Delaware artists who are involved in arts, advocacy, and activism. I'd like to begin by talking about the impetus for this project. Tell us about how this group exhibition came about.
So our executive director, Dr. Joseph Gonzalez, got in touch with Dr. Newton, who is he was a professor at UD. He's also himself an artist, because Dr. Newton wanted to get a show together this year to play part in the whole 1968 story of Wilmington, and he wanted to commemorate Percy Ricks. Percy Ricks is. Or was an artist, an art educator, and an arts advocate from Wilmington, Delaware. He founded the Aesthetic Dynamics, Inc., which is an organization that focused on bringing everyone into the creative experience, regardless of race or background. He was also part of the inception of the Christina Cultural Arts Center. And so, yeah, that's kind of how we all came together, and I had never heard of Dr. Newton. I'd never heard of Percy Ricks, but when we sat down with them, Dr. Newton just started telling us stories, and it just got us all excited, and we had to be a part of it. So that was our way to enter as a contemporary arts organization into this historical and retrospective look at that history in Wilmington.
And I think that's what's so exciting about one of the ways that contemporary art can bring a new lens, a new look at a historical period. So the Wilmington 1968 initiative, the opportunity for organizations throughout the city of Wilmington to come together to mark 50 years since the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and Wilmington's response to that, and then the subsequent nine-month occupation. And these are histories that are known to some. Mm-hmm. They're histories and stories that are not known. There are some of us who never experienced it. There are some of us in the community who lived through it. And I thought fascinating for you all, to look at this 1968 history and then enter through artist activism. Mm-hmm. So tell us a bit more about Percy Ricks.
So it was interesting because, like I said, I'd never heard of him. But then I kind of got this introduction to this man through a friend of his, who is Dr. Newton. So doing the research about, all of his accomplishments was interesting. But also, hearing about him as a man and an artist, and especially someone so passionate about the arts and teaching other people. He worked with a lot of names from Wilmington. Like we have a painting from Ed Loper Jr., who is a pretty storied person in Wilmington. And so we were talking about this exhibition, and Dr. Newton, he kept talking about Percy Ricks, but he kept saying, we don't want it to be a retrospective. Which I think is what I responded to most, because I was like, well, man, how are we going to get, this work? How are we going to get it there and exhibit it? Especially in like, I'm like, well, if this stuff is 30, 40 years old, I'm like, is it contemporary? But he was saying that he wants the show to respond to Percy Ricks and have that exhibition be a response to that history. So I was put as the lead researcher on this, and I, being a white male from Florida, who just moved up here 3 years ago, I was like, well, that's a daunting task. But once I started talking to artists, they would tell me about other artists. I met Eunice LaFate through a fundraiser last year and found out that she had worked with Percy Rick. So these things just kind of came together. And so I started creating this generational exhibition of, Dr. Newton is in his 70s, I think. So, you know, we have that. And then our youngest artist is LaVon, who's, I think, just 21 or 22. Mm-hmm. And everyone in between. So I wanted to tell I wanted these artists from here to tell a story, because it wasn't for me to tell their story. You know, I just wanted to create the space for them to do it.
Mm-hmm. And how is Percy Rick's and his work represented in the exhibition?
He has, Dr. Newton loaned us pieces that he owns of Percy Rick's. And we have a self-portrait by Percy Rick's, and it's very much, in a cubist kind of futurist style. So it informs us what he was thinking about in when he was learning to paint. It's very much an academic painting, and I've done something of the same. You know, you look up to your artistic idols and you paint like them. But that was from 1941 to 43, he worked on his self-portrait. But right next to it, we have a series of paintings from 1994. And it's four paintings with very graphic targets and stenciled images of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Malcolm X, Angela Davis, and Lewis. Oh, I'm blanking on his name. I'll have to look that up. But it's four of them, and it's all very graphic. And the background is oil painting, and it's all done in oil, but it has the feel of spray paint. So having those two styles kind of shows just the range that he worked in. And because he wasn't dedicated to a style, he was dedicated to making art and talking to people and teaching. Mm-hmm. So we use that, and I talk about that as Percy's spirit for the show. Mm-hmm. We're doing all of this in Percy's spirit.
Mm-hmm. And gathered around him are a really wonderful and, in terms of imagery, diverse group of artists. And so you mentioned Eunice LaFade and, you know, the mm-hmm. connection there. And, of course, Dr. Newton. How were you able to connect with the other artists who are included in the exhibition?
So actually, I've run into almost everyone one way or another. So we have Colette Gator, whom I worked with directly at UD. Eunice LaFade, I met through that fundraiser. Michael Kalmbach is a friend of mine, and if you haven't run into him, then I'd be surprised, who is everywhere across Wilmington. Carl Bailey, who shows up to almost every art event we have at the museum just to talk about art. That man's passion is deep. Chad Cortez Everett also applied a couple times to certain things, and I saw his work through that. And then Dr. Newton came to us through Joseph. So, and we made a connection with Ed Loper Jr.'s son, Jamie Loper, and he kind of stands in as his business manager, basically. And I got a couple names from other people too. So like I said, as I was talking to people, they were telling stories and they said, oh, you have to get this person. Oh, you should get this person too. Mm-hmm. I think that alleviated some of the stress that I had. Cause I was like, you know, I'm starting from square one. How do I find artists from here? But you talk to one, you talk to all, because the artist community here is so tight knit mm-hmm. that they all talk, they all know each other. They're all looking out for each other. And so I'm just really glad that I'm able to participate in that.
Yeah. And you've named individuals, artists, who are strongly aligned with advocacy and activism. So Michael Kalmbach, for example, University of Delaware graduate student, founded the New Wilmington Art Association, went on, was working at the time at the Delaware College of Art and Design, went on to found the Creative Vision Factory, which is just such an important resource in the city of Wilmington. And so, you know, you've identified, and he's just one in an incredible incredibly strong group of individuals. So I would imagine, you know, what one of the really great strengths of the exhibition is that you have these group of individuals, these strong activists, and you can expand the conversation through those networks that they are then, in fact, connected to as mm-hmm. well. And what it does is not only expand the conversation around critical social concerns that need to be addressed, it expands that spirit, Percy Ricks' spirit,
right,
and expands the knowledge of him, the work that he was doing, in such a really strong way, again, to connect through a contemporary art lens through that history and looking back
right.
to 1968.
Right. And I participated in one of the first meetings, the big round table that we would do in downtown Wilmington, where all the organizations came together to parse out what this, you know, reflection is going to be citywide. Because, I mean, that in itself is a lot of organization. So going there, I think that's what I got was how to connect contemporary art to our past. And then, you know, you think about contemporary art, and at the time, that's what they were making. So thinking about this and then involving artists who are making right now, whether they're responding to the past or they're looking to the future, I think is what the show is about. And like you said, everyone gives back in one way or another. We've got a lot of teachers, people who donate money that they make from their artwork.
Well, I'll be eager to talk more about a little bit more about the artists who are included in the show, the types of work, and, you know, if there are any sort of interesting comparisons, connections that you see among these works of art that are included. So stay tuned after the break when we'll be back to continue our discussion with Morgan Hamilton from the Delaware Contemporary. We'll be back shortly.
If you had to choose a roofer, would you choose one with limited experience and knowledge, or would you choose a roofer certified as a master elite contractor by the largest manufacturer in the nation, GAF, a distinction shared by only 3% of the nation's roofers? I'm talking about GP Martini Roofing, who also does siding, windows, doors, and offers an ironclad guarantee that he'll repair or replace any roof for defects within its normal life. GP Martini Services, Chester, Delaware, Bucks, and Montgomery counties, with free estimates and consultation, and does both commercial and residential. Go to their website at martiniroofing.com for special savings, or call 610-873-1696. And also, financing is available with no payments for a full year. Now, what roofer would you call? GP Martini is the answer. 610-873-1696.
Rich,
please, after
is
you.
Just a really,
oh,
really, really good guy. The term good egg isn't enough to describe him. He's also certified organic and free range. Rich puts the cap back on everything. The toothpaste, the olive oil, the shampoo, everything. He lets his 10-year-old nephew beat him at virtual tennis, even though he can straight up slay his 10-year-old nephew in virtual tennis. When the toilet paper is running low, Rich replaces the roll on the actual holder, not just on the back of the toilet. Rich is texting and driving. Rich? No. What are you doing, Rich? I was just telling everyone how great you are. Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the greatest hits of the 50s,
well, that'll be the day when you
60s,
are the day, and, you know it.
And 70s. 1520 WCHE.
Say, Welcome back to Art Watch on WCHE 1520 AM. This is Margaret Winslow. Joining me in the studio is Morgan Hamilton, Curatorial Associate at the Delaware Contemporary. We're currently discussing the Delaware Contemporary's current exhibition, Guardians of the Image Makers, on view through June 29th. I'd like to talk a bit more about the exhibition and what our listeners will experience in the gallery itself. So as we've said, there's great diversity in style and form. Can you tell us a bit about the kinds of subject matter that our visitors will see in the gallery space, and if there are any kind of formal similarities that you see among the works?
So the thing about getting group shows together is usually you do it based on a style, a technique, a subject matter theme. But with this one, I had to do it the opposite way and say, I want artists who are advocates, who are educators, who give back, because that's what this show's about, giving to those people. So having that theme, everything in there looks different, you know? So designing that exhibition was a little difficult, just being like, you know, where do I put these things? And like, you know, you're in a square room with all of these varied different things. But I started looking at the work and thinking about the artists, and some themes kind of came together. Eunice LaFate is a Jamaican American artist, who runs the LaFate Gallery on Market Street. Roldan West is a Honduran American artist. And those two, I were just like, well, they have very bright Caribbean, Central American themes and techniques, because that's their heritage. That's where they came from. And so I was like, okay, well, they kind of go together on this wall. And in the center of that is a painting of the Kalmar Nickel, which is the Swedish reconstruction of the Swedish ship that goes up and down the Christina River, done by Ed Loper Jr. And so I was kind of thinking of those as a connection to our past, America's past, and, you know, the influx, the invasion of Europe into the Americas, and the things that have come from that, you know, the richness of contemporary art through that. And so that was kind of the past. And then I have Colette Gator, who uses graphic design to talk about histories of her father and stories from her father. And Michael Kalmbach's work, which is very bright and vibrant, and touches on a lot of his experiences in life. And Chad Cortez Everett, who does very personal work. He puts himself into his paintings. He puts his family into his paintings. And they're all just beaming with sunshine and rays of light. So that kind of looked like the future to me, like our hope, the place we want to get to. And in the center of the gallery is Dr. Newton's piece. And he's typically a printmaker, but he really wanted to share a new piece that he had done, which was a wall sculpture, where it's two toy AK-15s or AK-41s above an American flag. And it's really powerful because it's in this black framed, like, wooden box. And across the gallery from that, I put Percy Ricks for targeted faces, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Angela Davis, Malcolm X, and Joe Lewis. And two of them, Malcolm X and Dr. Martin Luther King, have X's painted on them, because they were the two who were assassinated. So when the viewer goes into the museum, when they walk into the center of the gallery, they are in the line of fire. I wanted to put people in the line of fire because that's not an experience as a white male that I have had. And it's one that too many people have had. So I wanted to create that tension so that when we're looking to our past behind you, and then also looking to the future, we have this thing that needs to be resolved. And so trying to put all those things together and still have a message of hope was interesting. But I think the bright colors and the you can really see the painter's hand in them. That's what makes you leave the gallery feeling that sense of hope.
Yeah. And there is, I mean, I've experienced the exhibition. It's incredibly strong graphically. It's incredibly strong. It's such a wonderful and sometimes rare opportunity to hear directly from the curator in regards to how he or she has conceptualized and really kind of choreographed a space, and then how it, you know, kind of psychologically is meant to, you know, that arrangement is meant to impact the viewer. It's just an incredibly strong installation with plenty of kind of space for each one of those works to have their own kind of psychological space in the gallery. And there's so much to see in each individual work
right.
as well.
Yeah, it's the kind where from afar, you know, oh, I recognize that as a painting. But as you get closer, every mark is important and every mark was put there, and you could almost see the artist's hand doing it. Eunice Lafate's paintings, it's a grid of small 8x10 paintings put in a black frame, and I arrange them on the wall as if you might see family portraits in a house, because each painting is of an experience a child has with his father, because Eunice Lafate just lost her husband and she is running a grief counseling group out of her gallery just because that's how she copes with art, and she wants to share that experience with other people. So getting those together, and then you know, that's her story, that's what she wanted to paint about, and Colette Gator's stories about her father. So all of the stories are different, but together it's about that collective story that we're all sharing. Yeah.
And that's so that collective story, there are so many opportunities, threads, kind of points for conversation and discussion. And I attended one of the past programs at the Delaware Contemporary, Recall and Respond.
Yes.
And I was hoping that you could share a bit about the kinds of stories that have come, as you're comfortable, of course, sharing the kinds of stories that have come out from these conversations and programs that the Delaware Contemporary has supported.
Yeah, so I was part of the roundtable discussion at the end of that, just as the curator of the exhibition, and I think the one thing that stood out, Mr. Mimiger mentioned the word silence. And, you know, that kind of struck a chord with me because, yeah, I moved here from somewhere else and I didn't know Delaware's history, especially about the occupation and all that. But then I find out that a lot of people who've lived here their whole lives also haven't heard about it. People who've lived just down the road from it. And that silence is part of that systemic problem that we have. And the thing that arts, and especially contemporary arts, is that we don't care what you think. We're going to say what we feel. We're going to pay witness. We're going to tell the truth. And, you know, artists are the bearer of truth. Even when they're painting fictions or fantasies, it's a truth in some way. And so I think the exhibition, and especially the panel and the colloquy, Recall and Respond, brought that up because we were all in a safe space and people were able to say how they felt. There was no silence. And I think that's what I'm going to take with me going forward, is breaking those silences.
Mm-hmm. So many, and you bring it up so perfectly too. There's a lot of power in silence, and you're absolutely right. I mean, it's taking the opportunity of marking 50 years or what can that other connection be to uncover histories, stories of systematic oppression that have been in many ways intentionally silenced. Because, you know, and even just the work that I've done working with the archives, you know, for example, or how that history is not known, is not taught to a great extent. This is what I've gathered talking to Native Delawareans, isn't taught in the public school system, for example. So it's that kind of work to bring these voices together, to document it so that those stories are preserved.
Yeah, and Colette Gator, during that roundtable discussion, mentioned the word, the language that we use that we don't even realize, but the word riot and the connotation it has. And it's always associated to African-American uprising. And so I've stopped using the word riot. And I saw that the website also, they call it the emotional public response, and that's exactly what it was. So I think, you know, even in silence, there's that power and that control in non-silence. And the things that we are given to, or the words that we are given to talk about things through the media. Mm-hmm. And I think deconstructing those words and refusing to use them is an important step, especially for white Americans who
certainly
don't experience that in our lives.
Certainly. I mean, it starts in so many different places. When we can figure out that tangled web, that
right.
will be a feat. But, you know, it's coming from the media. It gets solidified in academia. I mean, it digs its roots down, and it's really hard to mm-hmm. pull all of that up. So that was an incredibly strong program. You all have another program coming up at the Delaware Contemporary when you will be screening the film James Newton, A Life Story in Art, on Wednesday, June 27th. Tell
right.
us a bit more about that event.
So the documentary is about James Newton and his artistic practice in history. And it's important for us, the Delaware Contemporary, to, you know, show that, because we want to tie our exhibition to James Newton, Dr. Newton, because a lot of us in the staff, we live here, we're local, but we're not from here. And to have such, in my opinion, a legendary artist be so close to us and work so closely with us to make a successful program, that's why we want to, you know, honor and exhibit him as a powerful force for the arts in Delaware, because that's what the Delaware Contemporary wants to be. So it's kind of one of those things, and also to involve him more directly in the exhibition.
And it's an incredibly strong documentary. It gives a really wonderful overview of his life. So the Delaware Contemporary's Guardians of the Image Makers continues now through June 29th. Don't miss this inspiring exhibition. Details are online at decontemporary.org. Thank you for joining us, Morgan.
Thank you so much for having me.
So the end of the school year is approaching, and with it, a new class of art graduates. Don't miss the University of Delaware's 2018 Bachelor of Fine Art Visual Communication Senior Exhibition this Friday, May 11th, at the Chris White Gallery in Wilmington. For an evening of unique and high-energy jazz, catch Norman David and the 11-tet at the Delaware Art Museum at 8 p.m. on May 17th. Norman David's original compositions and arrangements propel the listener down unexpected paths and through surprising twists and turns. Details online at delart.org. This is Margaret Winslow. Thank you for joining us today on Art Watch. Next week, tune in to hear John Chambliss discuss the upcoming Chester County Studio Tour with Jeff Shaler. For audio podcasts of this and other Art Watch radio shows, visit lelygaler.com and click on Art Watch Radio. Tune in every Wednesday from 1 to 1:30 p.m. live in the studio of Westchester's own WCHE, 1520 AM, as we discuss art of the greater Brandywine Valley region.